Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 443. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Numbers are terrifying.
They are terrifying. Earl is here.
Howdy.
He was here.
Oh, can you not hear me?
No, I can hear you. I hear you now. And Jeff is here.
I'm only happy when it rains. Bam, wow, wow.
Sorry, I'm saw that Captain Marvel high, guys.
That sounds perfectly good.
It's something, but
I feel Earl does not like our musical choices.
Earl, how did you feel about the Captain Marvel soundtrack? Was it a little too generic and on the nose?
I thought this
to send you back to the 90s.
It's a weird thing because I'm all for like the 80s, but I guess cause it didn't feel like anything to me. Like, and here's a bunch of songs I know, and it's like, oh, this just feels weird.
Because it
doesn't do a ton with the 90s outside of like, hey, we're set in the 90s.
But we'll have 90s music. And
There's a couple gags, you know, there's like the pages and the slow loading.
The slow loading, though, I found weird. Partially, like, that's how people experienced the internet back then, but that's how people experienced it. It was weird that they reacted to it in such a way that it was like foreign to them.
Yeah.
The two that were asking kind of like what was taking so long were Captain Marvel and the Skrull guy, right? Like,
they were also showing people's facial expression, and they showed their Fury's expression and Arya's facial expressions, and they too seemed surprised
that how long it was
that this was taking forever. Yeah.
Going back to what you said about the music, though, Earl, is like the thing that like. I think this movie kind of made me realize a couple things that happened, like a couple things I've watched recently and whatever, like made me realize that like it's weird because the 90s are starting to become nostalgia now.
Yeah.
And it's before they were just the 90s. I was like, yeah, it was like 10 years ago, whatever. Like it's like the past.
I don't want to scare you guys, but like on our local oldies station here, they play 80s music.
So it's creeping.
90s music is going to be on that station soon.
Oh no, I've seen like I think Google has like Google Music will have a classic station which is like the 90s, and it's like that's not right. That is because like even then the 2000s is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I always, in my opinion, the oldies should always just stay the oldies, which were like 60s and 70s music.
But somebody, and this is the kind of party into video game, somebody mentioned today that like the Wii, the PlayStation 3, and the 360 are soon going to be retro because they are, 14 years old?
Yeah,
but it's like, just for whatever reason, like in my head, oldies is like a genre and it's like a specific sound, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's the oldies, then there's 80s, and then there's 90s, you know what I mean? Like, it's all going to start to be a mishmash for people who don't give a fuck and all that stuff is old to them. Like, it's all old, you know?
Yeah, and I do think at some point you're going to have to start classifying it because, like you said, you can't just have a jump all oldies because then you're going to be covering more decades than you're talking about. Music from the 70s is different than the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, like how do we classify, like to me, like Elvis is oldies, right? Like how do we classify?
Like Motown is oldies, you know, like that era. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, Chris, yeah, but even, I just completely derailed the podcast in the first minute.
But I was about to say, even compared to those two, like Elvis and Motown were two different decades. So,
yeah,
but yeah, like I said, to talk about video games, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm like, the Wii, the PlayStation 3, and the Xbox 360, that's retro. And I think partially because
they are.
Though, I mean, like, they are at the point now where people, like, when people started, like, the internet emerged and people started calling the Nintendo and the Genesis retro consoles. We're about at that point from those consoles now.
Yeah, I'll be okay calling them retro consoles once whatever the next generation of machines comes out is.
Calling 360 era?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 360 era I would not call retro, but I think I would call PS2 era. That's retro, I think.
But the thing is, people haven't started jumping that generation into retro either. Like, I don't. Like, people still kind of fantasize about the Dreamcast, and that system's 20 years old this year. Yeah,
that's retro to me. That's totally retro.
I think like the PS2, Dreamcast, Xbox, GameCube. I think they're retro now. Like they are. Like I know people.
They were designed for different TVs, dude. Like come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're square fucking screen games. Like
yeah, and I think that once whatever like the new PlayStation and Xbox come out, whatever they are, I'll be okay like relegating the 360 and PS3 and Wii to retro status.
It's just I don't know, because like to me the 360 era games still feel modern. They still feel totally fine. I'm like psyched to go back and play the Castlevania multiplayer. Like they hold up just fine.
And part of that is because I can just build off of that. But I mean, again, that Castlevania game, for example, is 10 years old, I believe. 9 or 10 years old. That is a very long time.
Yeah. Was that a Harmony of Dissonance?
Yeah.
Harmony of Despair, I thought. Fair. Or something. Because I think there is two different ones that have that weird...
Both could be Castlevania H, because they both spell out to HD, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm speaking of the multiplayer one that was on Xbox and I think PlayStation 3. I remember playing it, I think, with you guys... at least some of you, because it's like a 6-player game. It's fun. I thought it's cool.
It's fun. Tony's kind of
talking shit about it.
I can't help it. If you enjoy something, I want it to die.
Do you own it, Tony? I can't remember.
I don't own it now.
I think I
already own it, so I'm like, it's an easy like, yeah, I'll replay that.
Yeah. It's back. Oh, it's a digital game, so I should already have it once it comes to that. Yeah, I owned it on the 360. Again, because co-op game, like you said, 6 players. It's fun. It kind of reminds me, in a better way, though, of what was that game, Dead Cells? Because it's essentially the same 6 stages you go through constantly, but you get better equipment each time.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But you can do it with, like, a bunch of your friends.
Yeah.
Let's fucking play it, guys. I love these.
Is it backwards compatible?
Yeah, they just added it today.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
I think I have it.
I downloaded it earlier. Like it's already up.
Yeah, and I mean, just throwing it out there. Metal Gear Rising is Games with Gold. I just downloaded that before we started this show.
Oh, that's out now too.
Yeah, and then Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare 2.
I've been wanting to try that Metal Gear Rising because I know that's like a like an action game. So, and I heard it's pretty good actually.
It's a platinum game too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
One of the good platinum games. There are bad platinum games.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I think of two different platinums, because there's like the platinum that does Bayonetta, Vanquish, then there's a platinum that does like the Ninja Turtles and Transformers game.
And which platinum did Wonderful 101?
The fantastic platinum.
I couldn't get into it. It was too weird, like the control scheme and shit. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I give up.
I love the Wonderful 101, and I hope someday they port it to new systems so everybody can experience the joy, and maybe they'll port it with normal controls so people can stop whining about that.
Someday.
My problem was I got to try to get them to put out a demo, and the demo turned me off. So I was like, I'm not buying this.
I assume at some point we're going to talk something this week.
Yeah, all right, let's get into the episode. I'm sorry.
I was going to let Jeff start off with Don't My Cry 5, but since we're talking about old stuff, Earl, you played the oldest game on here this week.
This is true.
Yes.
It's Earl's fault.
I think it's a contest.
About the awesome, because it is awesome, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, it is fantastic. Honestly, it was no real rhyme or reason. I was at lunch, and I took out my Switch, and I wanted to play something, but I it was a shorter lunch because I had to do some stuff. And I'm like, let me check out the Nintendo Switch Online, just whatever that place is called, because I actually never really used it. And I scroll through the games, and I'll be honest, Super Mario Bros. 3 is the game I've owned the most in my life. I think I've owned it on multiple times on Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Game Boy Advance, GameCube. I think it's part of Animal Crossing on GameCube.
I don't Wii, know.
3DS, and I want to say Wii U. And that's not including that guy. I also got just Mario All-Stars Collection for the Wii U when that, the Wii when that came out. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, a game I played often enough.
And you have a NES Classic too, right?
Oh yeah, I do have that too.
On there too.
So yeah, I may have bought it once or twice, but I was like, I've never actually tried out this service, so I figured it'd be a good game to test it with, and it was a good thing I did because the service is fine. But I don't know, maybe I didn't mess around with it enough. I don't know whose idea it was to map the buttons that way. My
it head sucks.
My brain does not function the way they mapped it.
That's how they mapped it. That's how they mapped it on Wii U too. It was like BA, like the regular NES controller, but picture where the B and A are on the controller now. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should be YB.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going for. And then I think Y and B are both jump. Well, Y and B, I think, are the same button, and X and A are the same button, or something like that.
I hate it. What the fuck is
there? Is there a way to remap the buttons?
No, not that I know.
I don't know.
Again, maybe I didn't mess around with it enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
Eventually, I think what I said it on was X and A. Because I think it's ideally in my head. Your thumb is always resting on the run button.
Exactly,
and then,
dude. Yeah.
And then you can't do it the other way because that doesn't make sense because it's really weird to rest on. Yeah.
You have to contort your thumb the other way, you know?
You can't really hold it down. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. I don't know, like, who pay tested that and thought, like, oh, this is good enough. Like, I get that they want, like Jeff said, they want to go with the traditional setup. But like, your controller no longer has that design.
It's like, if you didn't put an overlay explaining the new button layout, it's like, people would figure it out, dude. Like, come on. On the Wii U, they did the same thing, but they did let you completely remap every game however you wanted. And I don't know if the Switch does that. I would assume that you can. But I can't tell you because I've not played enough of the online.
Yeah, there's some odd decisions. Like you mentioned the Wii U. You look at the Wii U, you look at the NES Classic, and you look at this. And it's like at some point you would think like Nintendo would decide on like one interface and one kind of like the Wii U had customizable buttons. That should be something you carried forward always. This has save states. It's a bit this doing it on actually the NES Classic save state was really confusing. But this one, CL, CR, and you can create a save state. I mean, granted, it's a Nintendo game. You probably don't need a save state for a Mario game. But
you need it for motherfucking Zelda 2.
Which, actually, I did not get to try this week. But that's the one thing I do like, I guess. I've never tried it. Is that they do the two or three games a month, which I honestly think they really need to up. But they also do special save files. So you can, like, Zelda 2 they did this month. So, like, you can play Zelda 2, but you start the game with maxed out heart
out. Yes, yeah. It has, like, a symbol on the icon for the game if they did that, right? Like, it's like
S yeah.
or something.
But you
I've not fucked with any of that shit.
No.
It's cool, though, but that they're tinkering with those games a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it's fun to kind of game you probably experienced before. Here's a different shit. A lot of people have issues with Zelda 2. Here's a way. Like, you still have to go through the game and get all your weapons and stuff and else, so it shouldn't be as difficult as it is for a lot of people. That said, Super Mario Bros. 3 holds up phenomenally well once you kind of get used to the buttons.
Damn it, I was hoping that wasn't the case.
I know. It's also fascinating because it's been a while since, I mean, I guess the NES Classic's like 2 or 3 years old, but you forget how much of like the modern Mario stuff was introduced in that game.
I don't. Is it your favorite one too, Earl? I know it's me.
Yeah. Christmas. Yeah, it's my favorite
and Mario. Mine.
Is it yours too?
Oh, yeah.
And am I speaking out of turn for you, Chris? It is your favorite.
No, that's my favorite. Yeah. Yeah. I like it more than the world.
So, like, I can't believe all four, like, That's very rare find where you get like four people together and they all say Park Three is the best.
Especially usually, when we are those four people.
Yeah, yeah. Usually everyone is like, is split. There's people that like World or Galaxy or whatever the fuck. It's usually World or Three. And it's like, I love World. World's great. I love, like, it's phenomenal. But Three was like, it was such a step forward at the time. Like, and yeah, like you said, it laid out the series. It laid out all the ideas for the series, kind of.
Yeah, anyways, and sorry. I still think, you know, I understand. I still think the raccoon in this cape. I do think that there's something in that control you get with the raccoon tail over like, the cape, which you can kind of pretty much cheese it out of levels with.
Same kind thing. Of go through the whole thing. Yeah.
And each one of them has their pro. But I think I'm much sure they have a car to make micro levels. You get an idea, you master it, and you move on to something new. There's always some exciting challenge next door for you. Something that, I mean, you know, something that can learn from. That's a great music. That's a different types of music. Again, a lot of, you know, just a lot of creativity. It's whatever they wanted to do back then. They did it, you know, they had general themes, but even then they didn't stick to it. I believe it's the introduction of scrolling levels for the franchise. And yeah, it's a great retro game. And it's oddly enough, if you've never played, which I know people who do, you can check it out on like 15,000 different Nintendo systems.
Yeah. Have it on everything. if you ever want to play Super Mario Brothers 3, like,
just steal one of your consoles. It doesn't even matter which
one. Just add, like, hey, I want to play this, and I can hand you like something to play it on.
I think the only Nintendo system it's not on is the N64.
It's probably accurate. So it's on Super Nintendo via All Stars. I mean, Game Boy or Game Boy Color. It's probably not on there, but it is on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. And it has a few levels on the Game Boy Advance. Though I think they also bought, well, I guess that counts, but I went to one of them had the e-card reader levels. But yes, I guess while I'm talking about old games that I played this week, I also revisited Castle Crashers Remastered.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, that was near teased this morning. That just happened to be great timing. But yeah, that game also holds up. I mean, yeah, it's been like 10 years since that came out too.
And there's not another game like it yet. We need another game.
No, I was wondering about that. Like, I was playing with my friends last night because we all just happened to own it on the Xbox. And I was like, one, I don't know where we stopped playing. This is a ton of fun. I mean, we probably played it because we exhausted all the characters and maxed them out so many times. But one, I was surprised there was never a sequel. And I was also surprised that at no point did it ever make its way to a Nintendo system. Because you would think a four-player co-op game would be ideal for a Nintendo platform. Yeah. And then they teased it today for the Switch. So that worked out.
There you go. Play it again.
Yeah. So it was the first time I actually played the remastered version, I guess. And I guess they added two new characters at the start of the game. I don't know if these things have names or not, but I played the
Pink Knight. The
Pink Cart. I'm still not 100% sure what their powers do. Like, I know you can shoot out of a rainbow, and at some point you can throw like pressed animals that explode on people, and you get a very cute like bow and arrow that's like pixel multicolored. Rainbow does.
It's the green one, poison. The one I'm...
Yes,
it's I don't remember.
An ice, fire,
fire, lightning, heart, and
yeah.
So like, it looks like. So I'm looking at like a little image here. It looks like the orange one is fire, blue is ice. Red for some reason is lightning.
Green is poison.
Okay, so yeah, I couldn't tell the image because like they couldn't really tell what it was doing.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed because again we hadn't played it in a while. It's like there's really no indication on the main screen like what your character does, so you just kind of picking at random and hoping for the best. Like again, like something like you said, some of the colors line up, but I would assume red for me, and it's
red fire, yeah. Red fire and like normally yellow is lightning, but like I could see them applying it to orange, but whatever.
Yeah, and then the elk horns. I'm like, I don't know what that does. Tell me anything. But yeah, it's like Tony said, there are not a lot of games like it. I don't know why. You would think four-player co-op, be simple, decent, very heavy into the RPG mechanics.
My kids both love the game. I don't understand why there's not more games like it. Makes no sense.
No.
I don't think I've ever actually played this one.
Castle Crashers?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you need to try it.
I have a confession to make. I've played it.
And you like it?
No, I've played it like a bunch of times. And I can't get into it. Like, it's not like I don't. It's not like I like hate it or anything. I'm like, why won't this click? Why won't this click? I don't know.
I'm judging you, Jeff. I'm judging you so much.
I know. Right. I think it's two things. I think it's like the art style. I don't love that, and it's like because it's like side scrolling, it makes it feel like I'm playing Double Dragon or some shit, and like those type of games are kind of boring to me.
But it is a brawler, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, but it has like the RPG element type shit to it, right? Like, am I wrong on
that? Yeah, it had. No, you have RPG element. Yeah, you can so have RPG like, characters.
Yeah.
And then you can get different weapons with different stats. You can also get like sub items. You can get bombs, shovels, the bow and arrow, like I mentioned. So, yeah, there's
we can play it on Xbox if you guys wanted to.
I mean, it sounds like. Sounds like you don't want to. We don't want to force
not
you to
really.
Do anything you don't want to do.
Did you play with other people?
I don't think I did. That would probably make a huge difference.
Oh, man. It's definitely a co-op game.
To play Castlevania.
Is that your trade?
We'll make a compromise. If you guys
I guess. I'll play both. I was just trying to lean towards, like, let's just play that. But I guess I'll play both. We're doing a deal here.
But isn't Castlevania also kind of like a beat 'em up?
It's a Castlevania. 2D.
I don't get. What?
oh, you get it. There's a difference. It's an aesthetic.
It's Jeff's logic.
It's an aesthetic, dude. It's like I like that Castlevania aesthetic as opposed to like.
Sure, like that. This is more of a cartoony kind of.
And there looking. Is like, I mean, I guess the combat is a little similar, sure, but it's like. I don't know. I just don't like brawlers.
But
don't
again,
make me think about this too hard. There's more to a Castlevania game. Even like the most basic Castlevania games have slightly more to them than a brawler.
Well, I mean, they're normally like part platformer, part...
Yes.
Usually not
this one because they really do tone down a lot of the elements. Because
there's exploration. Don't you try to get as cool shit as you can find and then go fight the boss in the time limit is like basically the idea, if I remember it right.
Yeah, but you're still kind of going from, because it's 2D, so you're going from point A to point B, killing enemies, upgrading your weapon.
There's no time limit, Jeff.
I think there is. I think there's a time limit.
Castle Crashers?
No.
I'm talking
about Castlevania.
Oh, never mind. Never mind.
No, we're just trying to figure out why he hates Castlevania, but is since he has a thing
of it
against...
has to do with
because it's Jeff. Don't expect
Castlevania. Vodmo would agree with me on that. It's Castlevania's Castle. It's, you know, yeah. I guess you know, and on a fundamental level, it's mechanically very similar. I get you. But
I could see just from an aesthetic standpoint. Like if you don't like the Castle Crashers look, I could definitely see.
It looks like fucking one of those games they used to play on the internet, like the
Flash
browser.
Game.
Yeah, Flash.
Yeah. What is it? I think it was kind of type games. Or I can't think that was the name of the site.
I think it was. Newgrounds.
Yes, there we go. That's and it does have a lot of the unlockable characters were kind of popular at that time. So there's that. But so we will come back next week where Jeff will compare Castlevania and Castle Crashers and give us a W.
Dude, I would love to like get us together to play that. I would. Both of them. Anyways.
Well, I'll look into seeing if I have either one. Pretty sure I have Castlevania. I don't know how.
Yeah, how much I played it with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. Tony.
Yes.
How old is Batman? Which Batman are you playing? Batman.
I played Batman Arkham Asylum. I was inspired
by Jeff.
By Jeff.
It's good, ain't it?
It's still really good. Yeah.
It's still really good.
And it looks awesome. I had forgotten how good it looks.
I think like sometimes like when you run, like when you're running with him, his like cape looks like it has like sharp edges to it. You know, like there's like little things like that.
Yeah. No, but it's so good. I had forgotten how good it actually was. It's just an epically good game.
It's better than what it became after, for me anyways. Like going back to this, I'm like, yeah, this is why I like this one, because it feels like you're exploring a map, you know? As opposed to like a big open world city where, yeah, I guess you're exploring a map there, but yeah, it's like so spread out.
I think for me at least, the difference was is like Arkham City like had some of the same stuff, but it was like in smaller chunks. Like, so you would go to like the museum, like where the penguin was, and like you would do that stuff. And like that had some exploration and like some like light elements there, but it was over so quick. And like the entirety of Arkham Asylum is that kind of
exploration. It had that Metroid feel.
Yeah.
Like it had that feel. Where are you at? And Tony, like, do you fight any bosses or?
I just finished the part where you fight the first really big goon. We have to like trick him into running into the electric thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it's down to pretty much every boss in that game again. Yeah. But we had this conversation last week. That's the one thing the game suffers from is the boss battles.
The boss fights in that game are not great.
Well, I appreciate that it has them though. I honestly do like. It's cool. I mean, I don't know.
I think the rest of the game is awesome, though. So I can comp at the boss fights for like the other like 95% of the game being incredible.
The only reason I really stopped is because like that Devil May Cry came out, so I was like, "There's a game I paid for it at $60. It's new. I played this game in 2008. It's amazing."
And you can always return to it. So
yeah, hopefully remember what I'm doing. Yeah.
What about Mutant League Football, Tony?
Okay, so I played it right after playing an entire season of Madden and winning the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this.
Uh-huh.
This was probably not the best idea. No. What I should have done is played some other games in between.
Probably.
Because trying to play this after playing Madden, it doesn't feel great.
No, like sure. you're coming off a game that is like mimicking Madden in a way.
Yeah.
But like Madden from like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's like it's really hard to like reading the field doesn't make any sense. Your players just kind of run and then stop when they're finished the route. The fact that as soon as you snap the ball, you have to like start running with the quarterback away from everything because he will die otherwise.
It's like a mix. It's like a mix of like a kind of like Madden from like 5 years ago and NFL Blitz.
Yeah. I mean, I like those elements. And, you know, if I could stop myself from like instinctively pressing Madden buttons while stuff was going on in the
screen,
I would probably be way more successful. Like, it's really annoying to find my players diving to the ground and not getting up and that kind of thing. Also, I haven't mastered the art of beating up my opponents when the down is over.
Yeah, because like that's a big thing in the game is like you want to beat them up so that they're because they have a persistent health bar, and like once you hit them enough they'll die, and that's how like if you have to, you know, kind of, you don't have to, but that's a win condition, is you can get them down so that they don't have subs for certain positions.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to play more of it. I just think I need a break before I do that.
I could see that coming off of playing a whole season of Madden, jumping into like mediocre arcade football. Maybe not the best.
No, it was not a good choice.
It can be a fun game though.
Can I ask you a random Madden question before we move on?
Sure.
What if you had to say like one Madden game from like the last 5 years that was like the standout one? What would it be?
I really like not the current Madden. Madden 18 is okay. probably the best one.
But that's the first one with the story mode too, right?
Yes, the story mode in that game is epic. The gameplay from last year to this year isn't that big of an upgrade, so you're not missing out a whole lot there. And it's just got all those RPG elements in like the franchise modes.
Okay,
just that is the most epic Madden.
Chris, are you on board with this assessment?
Yeah, and I would defer to Tony anyway. He plays way more Madden than I do, but yeah.
Because like I don't own a football game on my Xbox One. I do enjoy a football game. And it feels like there is every generation kind of like one Madden that stands out above the others. So yeah.
That one has – it's like the biggest upgrade, I think, over previous Maddens, and it introduces that story mode, which is kind of like a Telltale choose your own adventure.
Shit, man. I might pick that up tomorrow.
you should, because right now you can get it for real cheap. Although if you have EA Access, you could just go ahead and play it right now.
Yeah, because it's just part of EA Access.
Yeah.
All right. I played a pair of games. I finished one and I'm playing another one, but Headlander, which is a Double Fine, I want to call it like a platformer, but it's not, because you can't jump in it.
now it's I'm like, curious what this game is.
Okay, so it's like a Metroid-type game where you are a head. You are a head, and you can detach you can attach to different bodies. And those different bodies like give you access to different areas, and they also have different like weapons, and so utilizing like a certain body in a certain area is important. But how you like actually kind of get around is you fly around as like this little head, and you explore as them or as a attached to a body. There's a nonsensical story to it, which most Double Fine games kind of have, but I think the gameplay is actually really fun. Like, there's some cool puzzles. The boss fights are actually pretty cool. There's this one section where you're playing death chess. Like, you're involved in like this match of chess pieces where you're killing each other.
That's how I feel about it too. I
agree. Whose dog is that?
Not mine.
Girl.
Do you have yes, that's why I muted it. So. No,
it's okay. I actually, Jeff, I think like you'd actually really like this one. It's part of Game Pass.
Okay.
It has like that, you know, 2.5D kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's like nice detailed backgrounds and character models. With like interesting like Metroid type gameplay and lots of like exploration and puzzles to kind of solve. So I think that one might be up your alley if you have Game Pass. It's available on there.
I do, and I will.
The other one I kind of just started is Hellblade. That's a Senua's Sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear about this.
I'm maybe a third in. I like it more than God of War.
Ooh.
Oh.
But the new God, like God of War. God of War.
The new God of War.
He didn't like God of War, so that's kind of...
I didn't dislike God of War. But I really like... So this one kind of... it plays off of like this lady has psychoses. The main character. She hears voices. The sound work in this game is phenomenal. If you're listening with headsets, which it does recommend, It is it is actually disorienting in a way that I put my headset down because I was having trouble playing it that way. And I think that it's meant to do that, but coupled with the visuals that get like blurry when she's around certain things or when she's starting to kind of like have an episode, it has this really cool look and sound to it. Combat is so like this is where I guess it's going to like some people are going to fall off. The combat is like very parry based. And I'm trying to think of, you remember the Prince of Persia game that wasn't like part of the Sands of Time?
The one with the cool art style. It
was just called Prince of Persia. You had like that. Yeah. So like you would fight like one or two enemies at a time, but never like you wouldn't fight like onslaughts of them. That's kind of how this is like approached. Like one enemy or two enemy comes into the arena that you're in at a time, and you'll fight them. And it's very parry based. So you're trying to like block their sword or avoid them, and then get an attack in that way. So it's not kind of like the button mashy that God of War is. I mean, I knew the new God of War was a little more deliberate, but it's not like arcadey that way. It's definitely more of a slow paced combat.
Close to like Dark Souls or something.
Kind of, but not to like it definitely has a big impact. Like everything has weight to it, but it doesn't feel like
that.
Yeah, it's not like everyone kind of knows I'm not a huge fan of Dark Souls, but this one kind of it works well enough. I'm enjoying kind of like parrying it. You get these nice big like effects when it works. And she can also slow time or freeze time, which is like a special move that she can do. So like you can then use it to like get around the bigger enemies that have shields and attack them that way. But what I'm really enjoying about it is like the environment, the story, and the puzzles that they're putting together. Because like combat isn't a big thing. It happens like in these arenas that are set out. But the rest of it is like exploration and figuring out like puzzles on how to open these doors, which are normally like find these, like here's a symbol. Now like do some craziness and figure out like where that symbol is to unlock the door. So you're like putting objects together to create shapes and but you're doing it all in the environment. So I think it's pretty good. And Ninja Theory always visually stunning with their game, so this one's no exception.
Hey, are you getting Sekiro?
I don't know. Not a From Software fan, so.
But like the thing that like worries me about that game, like for me personally, I'll buy any game that they make. Like they're up there with Nintendo. I'll buy everything they make, but.
Yeah,
like I heard, it's very largely parry based, and I'm terrible at parrying in games. Like,
yeah, generally I am. Like, I think like this gives you enough of like, there's enough visual cues that you know like exactly when to press.
Mm.
And then like there's the visual cues when you do it properly that show you when to counterattack, and like there's a very visual style to the combat system in Hellblade. So,
all right.
That's also available on Game Pass. So,
yeah, I actually haven't downloaded.
It's pretty cool. All right, that leaves us with one new game.
One new game, yeah, new game.
One
actually, new game. I think it's the only new game. Jeff, you've been playing Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, so I think I am on like mission 14 out of I believe 20. So I'm like a little past halfway.
Right. Two thirds through.
Yeah, and look, I'm new to this genre in a way. Like kinda got into it after Bayonetta 2. I've played some stuff. I've never played any of the other like Devil May Cry games except for the reboot. And then I maybe about an hour or two of the original. Okay. So that's like okay. That's like all preface to like what I'm about to say, which is like
played Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2, right?
Yeah, I've played Bayonetta 2. I've not played the first one. I own the first one, but
oh man, you need to play that first
one. I know. Well, the second one's so good that's like I'm just kind of like good with it. But yeah, so I've played those. I've played a lot of the God of Wars, and I like really like those. I think they're like some of the better ones, like, you know, with a little more like adventure aspects to it, you know. But yeah, like to me, this is like very basic Bayonetta type shit, just not as good. I don't think it's even as good as like the remake or the reboot that they did, like the last game.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is not as good. Like I'm kind of like surprised by like the really high scores for it, because it's just like it's very basic. Like it's fun. Like don't get me wrong, I'm having a total blast playing it, but it's like very straightforward and basic, and like it doesn't have like some of the wow factor that like Bayonetta has. Like Bayonetta has like that wow factor where you'll be like, I'm fucking like flying through the air, or I'm like riding on a whale or some bullshit. You know, like there's just crazy shit going on. Or like the reboot of Devil May Cry had like cool gadgets and shit. And this is just like go room through room and kill stuff, and then you fight a boss. That's it.
It's very much Devil May Cry 4. Mm-hmm. Even like the original trilogy as well. It was like, you know, go kill things. Here's all your shit. Go do it however you want.
Like, you know, I like these types of action games now. So like the moment to moment fun of just beating on stuff feels fun, you know, but it's like, that's it. Like that's kind of all it is. I finally did a level like where there was something involved in the environment that like a puzzle I was trying to solve that like went through the whole level. I was like surprised by that because, you know, I was like 13 levels deep and finally there was something to the level itself.
Well, that's what like so I was like pretty pumped to kind of play it, and then like the reviews kind of came out and they're all super positive. But a lot of what they were saying is like that platforming and puzzle solving has been
minimized
a lot. And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I like the action, but I'm generally terrible at it. So it's like what I liked about it is like the aesthetic and then like the platforming and the puzzle solving, which is a remnant from like, you know, the original Devil May Cry started out as a Resident Evil game. So.
Yeah, that's not kind of how I remember that one being. It was like fixed camera angles.
Fixed camera angles. Yep.
And like I said, I didn't play through that one all the way, but like I remember thinking it was neat when I tried it. I was like, oh, like it's a cool idea to do like a Resident Evil game, but like more of an action game. You know, like I was like, that's pretty cool. You know.
Yeah, that's also what Onimusha is.
Okay.
Similar in that way.
But yeah, I never, like, other than playing the first one for an hour or two, that's kind of it, you know? This is fine. Like I said, I'm having fun with it, but it's just like, me personally, like, if I'm being totally honest, I don't think it's a $60 game. I think it's like a rental or, you know, wait for a deep sale. Like, and you'll have fun. It's just like, again, like, once I'm done with this, I'm never going to touch it again, probably.
Yeah, it sounds...
It's a 7. Yeah, like it's a 7 out of 10.
That's how I'm feeling about it. Is like, I mean, I may play it again. I replayed Devil May Cry 4. But it, like, I did that like 10 years later.
Yeah.
Like 12 years old now. So,
yeah.
I've been trying to find a red box that actually has it in it.
Yeah, you can probably do it, you know, in a couple days. I'm like, I'm kind of like savoring it, like not trying to rush it. I maybe do like a level or two a night.
Right.
You know, I'll probably by next week I'll have it done because I want to get done obviously before Sekiro. So,
All right. Well, slightly depressing to hear, but
I mean, again, it's totally fine. It's just, yeah, I wouldn't. I cannot, in good conscience, be like, you should spend $60 and like run out and get this. No.
Just fine.
Other a lot of critics disagree. I guess though, nines suggest you should buy. So
save me that $60, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Have you to play it, Earl?
What was that, Earl?
And I'm not. I was gonna say. I heard this is a Devil May Cry game made for Devil May Cry fans. So it's a very niche audience, very passionate audience. I always say that because it has not been set in the world on fire, at least in Japan and Europe. So that's their defense, is like, this was made for the diehards.
Okay, but it's like, and what the Sonic fans would say about every game, and I say that as a Sonic fan. Oh, this is for fans, man. We're the only ones who can get it, man.
I
don't think that's true with Sonic fans. I think they do that with
everybody.
I mean, I don't remember them doing that with Forces or what was before, not Mania, but what was before Mania?
Honestly, I think Forces is like just okay. It's fine. It's not like the worst thing ever. It's a competent game.
I want to pay Forces because the hidden story is just really batshit. Because it starts with the crap out of Sonic.
Yeah, yeah.
But
It's fine, dude. Like if you're fine with 3D Sonic games, there's way worse ones than Forces.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
It's just average. It's just nothing like. There's nothing about it that pops like some of the better 3D ones. Yeah.
Oh, but that was, I guess that was my point. It's like Sonic. There are Sonic fans who will defend certain games, but like Forces, Boom, crap. What was the one on the Wii U? Lost
World. Dude, you know what? My favorite one is Heroes.
See, everybody has bad taste.
Hey, dude, Heroes has some solid levels. It has really good Casino Night Zone. Whatever.
Wait, which one is your favorite, Jeff?
Sonic Heroes. Like, out of the early 3D ones, you know, it was like on GameCube and PS2 and shit. It was like the one where you, I think, were always three characters at once.
Yeah. That's where the Sonic and his shitty friends really came from.
Like, I don't like... There's like
four teams of three characters.
I don't like that.
Sounds
you
like
have...
a better game, Sonic and his shitty friends.
I don't like that, like, you have the... Like, I wish, like, you could just go solo as Sonic, but, like, I just think the levels are pretty good in that one. Anyways.
I honestly don't know why it's so difficult for Sega to just, like, make a
do
Sonic
it right.
Game.
Yeah, like, they've gotten close. It's just, like, build on the things that are good.
Well, that's the
always,
other thing
they
that
always restart from scratch.
Yeah,
one.
That's the thing that confuses me. It's like, they'll have a game that like, gets good reception, and it's like, oh, this is a good way to build a Sonic game, and then the next game is like, we're going to start all over.
Yeah.
I'm so, like, oh, okay. Bathroom. Like, I kind of appreciate the initiative, but it's also like, you folks don't get it right most of the time. So when fans are like, yeah, we enjoy this one, kind of stick with it.
It makes it kind of a fun series to, like, follow, though. Like, I don't know why I still follow it, but, like, it's you never know what you're going to get. It could be like, what was that one? It felt like fucking they ripped off Mario Galaxy. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I actually like Sonic Cut.
Well, there's another one 3D. That was a ripoff too. What was the Wii U one that felt like a ripoff of something else? It was like
I think that's the thing. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Sonic Colors definitely stole stuff from Galaxy too, though.
Yeah, but
anyway,
just as a quick aside, because officially this hasn't been revealed, but have you folks seen the design for Sonic for his movie?
Yes, it's terrifying. And I can't wait to drag fucking Melissa to go see that fucking movie, dude. Like, guess what we're going to see tonight? Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, that looks interesting. I think we're supposed to get a full trailer this week because I think there's a Sonic panel at South by Southwest on Saturday, so... Hopefully we'll see that in the next Sonic game. Because it's been, I mean, as far as I know, this has been the most quiet time for Sega with Sonic. He hasn't had a new game in 2.5 years.
There's a reason for that.
I mean, there's a reason for that. Usually they're just turning these things out like every other year. So it's weird that we haven't even had an announcement of a new Sonic game yet.
What was that awesome 2D one they just did?
Mania.
There's going to be a Mania too. Guaranteed. Yeah, guaranteed.
Well, I would say most companies, it's guaranteed that this is Sega. So
that thing was a success, like critically, commercially, artistically. Like,
we'll find some way to mess it up.
Yeah, I guess. But it seems like such a slam dunk to just go, hey, man, make another one. Yeah.
Okay. And just as a quick note, since we are on video game movies, did you folks also check out the trailer for Doom Annihilation?
I did not.
I heard that straight to video, though, right?
It is, yes.
Was it straight to Netflix or Hulu or something?
It's, as far as I know, it's straight to video. They could find a distribution partner. And the most positive thing I can say is it looks like it's a direct-to-video movie. So take that as you will. Like, I don't think it looks like something you see on the Sci-Fi Channel. It doesn't look bad for that. It looks really pretty much like the first movie, which I know a lot of people hate. So your mileage may vary. I happen to enjoy the first movie, so
it's something.
I have not seen it, so I can't say.
Evidently, the id didn't have anything to do, or ID didn't have anything to do with the movie at all.
This one or the original?
This one.
So, I mean, sometimes that happens. People license out this stuff without paying attention. And it might just be a company that's like, we got to keep making Doom movies. So here's the direct-to-video one. I think it was filmed in like Serbia or something like that.
That seems right.
It's out in September.
Oh, great.
I will be there day one.
I'm sure you will. And day two. And...
All right, I'm reading this article currently on this movie. The director's name is Tony Gigolo.
Oh, God.
That just sounds like the fake name you make up.
Is it
a Doom porno? What is this movie?
He's responsible for Soccer Dog the Movie and Death Race 2 and 3. We're straight.
I forget.
All instant classics.
Those Death Race movies are straight to video movies, but
it's not an Alan Smithy film.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch this movie now.
It can't be worse than the Heavenly Sword movie, because I feel like I'm the only person who's ever seen that movie or know it exists.
Well, I didn't know it existed until this very moment, so congratulations.
Which movie?
Heavenly Sword. Do you remember that?
No, game? Yes, a PS3 game, right?
The game I remember.
Also by Ninja Theory.
Yes. There's a movie of that, huh? Yes. I've never heard of that.
There's a CG movie that's awful. Like, the animation is terrible. Like, originally, I thought it was just going to be like the game CG collected, but it's original CG. And it's so bad. Yeah. Like, I can put up with a lot of bad movies, but there's something about terrible animation that just pisses me off. The only thing that pisses me off worse than terrible animation is a bad comedy, because there's nothing worse than something that's trying to be funny that isn't.
Yeah, that's just annoying.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of painful.
Oh, God, Heavenly Sword. All right. Well, Earl, you wrote down a bunch of news here. I kind of want to jump right on Halo Master Chief Collection coming to PC, and also Reach is getting added to it.
Does that mean it gets added to Xbox One version?
Yes. But I think it was going to be a premium add-on, so you'll have to pay to have it added to it.
I think it's premium in the sense that you have to own Game Pass also in order.
Right, yeah, I mean...
Oh, okay. I thought it was premium in the fact that you could get it. Wait, I thought it was like single payer is free, but multiplayer you pay for, or vice
I
versa.
think it's the other way around. It's
Yeah.
multiplayer is free, and the single player would be
Oh, yeah. We're
for
getting the
pay.
multiplayer. Oh, dude. I want to play that. I love the Halo Reach multiplayer.
The campaign and firefight are add-ons, like the premium add-ons.
But if you have Game Pass, you
Yeah,
get
but
them.
Firefight with.
Yeah, well, if you have Game Pass, it's just part of it. So,
I thought Firefight was better than ODST.
it's different for
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
dude, let's do some Firefight.
Firefight
But,
and Reach was more like it
it.
wasn't a horde based thing. It was more like here is five waves of enemies. See how fast you can kill them and how many points you can get, and now it's over.
So wave based,
Yeah.
but there was like a limit.
Yeah.
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 But the original was like the original hour long thing. It's like a marathon.
Yeah.
That was good times, good times. But yes, it's also coming to PC, but I think with PC it's gonna be rolled out game by game. And it's starting at region and it's going back to one.
Okay. So it'll be like here's the Master Chief Collection and Halo 1.
Yes.
That'll be interesting.
But I don't did I mean they didn't drop a date, did they?
No. So sometime this year.
So yes, that is I know a lot of people were stoked because I guess the Halo games have never remade it to PC.
One and two did. But nothing after two.
Nothing after two. But yeah, people are excited for that. I think that means that all the Halo games are now playable on the Xbox One.
Yes. I mean, Reach was available even before that. It's backwards compatible, so.
Yeah, but I mean now.
So I can play Reach right now, like online and all that, right? Still.
If you have the disc, yeah, you can just.
Yeah, I'm sure I got it in a box. Yeah. God damn
But
it's so awesome though.
yeah,
So cool to add it, you know.
that'll be a fun one.
I mean, that's one thing everyone's always wanted, and it makes it the complete package now, right? Like ODST is on there as well, right?
Yeah,
Yes.
So yeah,
that'll be everything.
up till five.
Yeah, five will still be separate from it, but like all the first person Halo games will be, available on Xbox One in two different packages. So you'll have like the you'll have the Master Chief Collection and then Halo 5 by itself.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I am that game is now what, 5 years old? Like since it came out, the Master Chief Collection. And the fact that they're still
Yeah.
like adding to it and updating
Do you go
pretty
back
cool.
still, Chris?
I have not been back recently, but I mean, yeah, I mean it is like if you're gonna play those games, like that's how I would play them.
Have
Even
you
though
you haven't played five even?
I haven't played five in like a year now. I
Oh,
was
okay.
playing that pretty consistently multiplayer wise, but other things came out.
What if we get Halo this year? I want it. Want
You're not. I'm pretty sure they've said as much too.
What if it was a lie?
I mean that would be impressive, but also totally.
Not gonna happen.
No, I think it'll be a launch title for whatever their new
Yeah,
system.
I think it will be cross-gen. What I wouldn't, if there's some type of Halo spin-off that isn't like Wars, I'm still surprised, or maybe they're working on it. Like they haven't tried to get Halo Battle Royale yet.
I'm
I
sure that'll be
mean,
a mode in.
yeah, whatever Infinite is.
Yeah.
There's gotta be something like that, yeah.
I am kind of like on, from Earl's point, like I am surprised that they haven't done like a kind of a free to play battle royale. Like just release like a
Just
giant
that
fucking
mode,
map,
yeah.
Spartans that are customizable, and just go.
They gotta be cooking something up, like, and you know, whether it's on the next game or like you just said, like, I think that might even be smarter. Just fucking, just to generate some hype around the Xbox, something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and I think some of this,
Pass, you know.
Well, I was gonna say some of this stuff. I mean, sticking with Microsoft, I believe they also announced that the. I mean, we talked about this before, but Xbox Live is coming to iOS and iPhone. I think they officially announced today.
Yes.
And I'm trying to figure this out. And there was something called like Xbox Twist or Microsoft Twist.
And yes, what is that?
It's like, it's like. Yeah, I saw it in passing. I'm trying to see if I can find it again. From what I understand, it seems like Microsoft is creating like a cross-platform engine so that, you know, developers can use it to make games on the Xbox, but it also works with the PlayStation and Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
And, I mean, honestly, I think, you know, any kind of like support engines are great. It's really interesting to see a first-party company tackle it in that fashion because I don't think it's something that they've historically ever done.
No, normally you keep like that tech in house. You don't parse it out.
Often, you don't often hear about party in house engines in general, let alone them allowing you to use it. Not only use it, but to use it on different platforms. So yes, that is. Like you said before, I think Microsoft is making a lot of great moves for the future, and thinking of Xbox more as a brand than a singular platform.
Right, like they want it to be the destination that you go to buy your games. It doesn't matter if you're playing them on their box or not. They just want, you to be buying them from them. Cool on them.
Acceptable.
Yeah. I will play Halo on my Switch if I can. Become my new...
Hope you hear something about that next week. I think that's when they're... is it GDC next week or South by South? I can't keep up with all these conferences. GDC, and PAX East are all within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so we'll hear a lot of stuff between those three.
I think GDC is next week. Yeah, GDC is the 18th through the 22nd. So,
okay. And then I think this weekend is C2E2. There's a conference going on this weekend or something like that. But, speaking of GDC, the big news of next week is that Google's going to announce whatever they're doing, which
great. All signs can finally point to find out.
They're making a console. Or not, who knows?
What if they had like a cool ass game that you wanted, but it's not? What if they had a Halo? Like their killer app.
They have Halo as their killer app?
No, I'm saying like they have their Halo, you know.
That, I mean, we have to see it.
Like, if they got me interested enough, I'd buy it. I don't give a fuck. I'll buy it.
I mean, I get your point, and I'm going to approach it with an open mind. I guess thinking about it in the opposite way, though, it's like how much talent is out there for them to have been working on this Halo in secret for this many years and nobody knows what it is.
No, I don't think it's going to be anything I will give a fuck about, but it'd be cool if it was.
Cards on the table at Google. But follow through is not their expertise. I mean, this is the week they literally just closed down one of their messaging services, which is like the third or fourth one they've done that for.
They're killing Google Plus in like 2 weeks, and
They just killed IO. They've killed Wave. I think Hangouts is dying, or that's changing, or evolving, or whatever.
How dare they?
I think so. I read this week that they're getting rid of, they're phasing out Chromebooks or the Chrome OS, and it's like,
yeah, that strikes me as weird coming from like a company that's going to get into hardware. Like you're backing out of your hardware to do new hardware,
and hardware is like, and like to if you're kind of trying to jump in like the console like industry, it's like I don't know, dude. You have to have a plan. You have to be committed. It can't be a half-ass thing. Like, you're gonna fail and back out if you have ass it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's an interesting time to enter because it's one of the few times in recent memory where I would say that all three companies are in really decent shape. Like, there's no one who seems super vulnerable right now to kind of like, okay, you can take their spot, or like, okay, this is a great time. Nintendo's not doing too hot, or Sony's not doing too hot. They're kind of doing well. And it might work out if they time it well during the transition where it's like they're coming in at the start just as like they beat the PS5 and the Xbox One 2 to the market by like a few months. But it's a very tiny window there.
Yeah.
I'm interested, man. I want to see what the fuck, like what they got. But
the thing that had made me interested is we also learned this week that Jade Raymond is now a VP at Google.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's just a VP at Google.
Yeah, like, well, we don't know what she's doing, right? Like,
yeah.
But when we know her background, it's very much games oriented, so.
So yeah, you would think,
honestly, like, you know what, like, when I heard the news, this is my honest reaction to it, was like, it made me think of when Microsoft said they were going to do a console. Everyone scoffed at it, and it was like, next thing you know, it was one of the, like, Xbox was one of the coolest consoles there was, so.
I mean,
I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but, like, I like to have that open mind that it could, because I remember at the time just being like, yeah, right. Yeah, the Windows console, whatever, man. Like, and it was then it came out with Halo, and it was like, holy shit.
But it still took them, like, a whole console generation, and then, like, because, I mean, the Xbox itself wasn't super successful.
Halo was a thing, man. I remember when that came out.
Yeah.
It was a thing. My dorm got obsessed with it. It was a sophomore year. I know,
and there's a lot of people that were into it. But like, when you look at it, ultimately, the Xbox didn't sell much more than the GameCube did, and neither one of them came close to the PS2.
Dude, real quick aside, it was so wild going from freshman year playing GoldenEye and Perfect Dark to sophomore year playing Halo. Like, dude, night and day, like, crazy, dude. Anyways.
But yes, to the point I was making earlier, part of the reason Microsoft was able to come in, though, was Sega dying at the same time.
Yeah.
So there was that vacuum they could fill. Where right now we have, like, this industry has never been able to support more than three major players. Partially because there's not really been any effort for more than three to come at a time. Constantly, like, other stuff that has kind of been announced. NVIDIA Shield, stuff like that. But we've never really had four major console players. And the other thing that's going to hurt Google is that the industry's kind of contracted in the amount of games they're making. So it's not like the start of the generation where you can get a bunch of big exclusive titles. It's you have what you have. Like, you're going to get Assassin's Creed, you're going to get like EA Sports titles, but what's going to differentiate you from anybody else? And I think if Google was buying up companies, we would have heard about that in some fashion.
Yeah, you can't hide acquisitions like that, so. We'll see.
I reserve my right to hope, but yeah. I believe this is going to be like them trying something, and it's just like another third option or fourth option, whatever. But
I'm not saying they shouldn't try it. I'm not see what they have to offer. I'm just saying that it's an interesting time to reveal a console, and it's very they could be full of surprises. But right now, it's odd that nothing has come out of this because the way like, you hear about, like, oh, you know, Sony's working on PS5 and in secret now.
There were Switch rumors for like 2 years that were accurate.
Yeah. Because like it's too big of an industry for people not to say something. Like even if people are on the NDA, you might speak to your coworker or your friend or your wife and say it in passing. That person says somebody. Like it's weird for none of that to come out.
Yeah.
Google's like this.
It's all fake news. That's what I'm.
Mean. Just fake news.
Fake news.
What else do we have? Oh, so. We had an announcement of Back for Blood from WB and Turtle Rock.
Yeah, I saw that earlier today.
Yes, which is essentially we can't make F for Dead, but we're going to make F for Dead 3 anyhow. I was super excited, and then I was announced. Hey, there's no screenshots, no footage, no expected date. It's just like we're doing this game. This is the name. This is what we've made.
I like the title. It, you know, lets you know what it is. I mean, I would be down for another one of those. It's been a long time since I played that.
Oh no, I have F for Dead. I'm excited for it. That's my initial thought was like, I'm all for it. But then I sat back and I'm like, this is just a really terrible announcement. As far as like, you didn't announce anything.
Yeah.
It's just like here we're making a game. This is what it's called.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did anyone else like not getting Left 4 Dead 2 though? Like I was super into the first one, but I played like the second one for like a couple hours, and I was like, eh.
I like the second one too.
I never got into it.
I think I like the second one more because that was the one where you could do a bit more stuff with the weapons. But I think, and I remember this complaint when it came out. I think a lot of people just felt like it was an expansion for the first one.
Yeah, it was like four new maps or something like that. Like, just
yeah,
was more of the same.
And I think part of it is like there's really not a lot you can do with that without because you can't like make unique characters because then that creates a balance like where people want certain characters or attributes. I mean, I think they had more weapons. I think you could combine weapons, or yeah, like, you could put stuff on your gun. I forget what happened, and there was like new special types. But other than that, yeah, it was like an expansion with DLC. But like, we'll see what they do with this one. Like, they keep on saying like it's Left 4 Dead, but we're throwing that. And then everybody's like, "I'm like, yeah," and everybody's like, "They also made." Oh, wait a second. This might be a tough sale, but yeah. Who knows when we'll see it or hear about it again?
3 years from now. 2022.
Which would be funny because like part of the reason they announced it is because they were like, we wanted to get ahead of like, we're doing a first person co-op game. And I'm just like again, excited, but it's like, why are you trying to get ahead of this? I mean, it's a first-person zombie cop game. They're not really super rare titles.
Yeah. We don't want to copy this one.
Never heard of it before. What is a zombie game? What is a zombie? Please tell me.
So, yeah, strange announcement.
There's other co-op games that might be coming out, though.
Yes. Yes, Gearbox, the company we love to hate.
Oh God,
I do.
No, I do hate them.
I get the disdain for them, but they also make Borderlands, so I'm like, I'm kind of beholden to at least pay attention to them once every few years. And they are teasing a lot of Borderlands stuff for PAX East. They teased a Borderlands 3. And then I think they teased a remake or something for Borderlands 2. So people expect, you know, some people said Switch, the Google console. Because Borderlands 2 you can already play on the Xbox One and the PS4, so that'd be weird to reannounce that.
Yeah, they have that.
The Handsome Jack collection.
Yeah, the collection.
So yeah. That's out there. I mean, I for one am stoked. I love Borderlands. I think it's a great co-op game. A lot of, you know, really sell you weapons, great powers. A very, I mean, not distinct, but the art style works for it. The humor gets dated really quickly, though. Very quickly.
Yeah, I think that's... Like, I played through all of Borderlands 1, but then, like, Borderlands 2, like, I don't know, about 10 hours in, like, the comedy just stopped working for me. Tony and Fozzie had advanced past where I was. So. I lost interest in it.
I mean, sometimes that hurts, but also because they scale it up, like you could just have them go ahead, and you usually catch up pretty quickly with the levels.
Yeah. So. We'll see. I'm interested to see what a Borderlands 3 looks like after all this time.
Right. I feel like the industry's adopted most of the things that were cool about and unique about Borderlands, so it'll be funny to see, like, the RPG stuff, which wasn't in any shooters, now in every single game
that you play. Yeah.
And so is like loot, picking up guns.
Yeah, it's like
that's in all these.
It's not. Of, yeah, it's not unique for it to be outside of Diablo now.
It's like a four player co-op game. Okay, you can't like walk down the street without running 12.
And also, in terms of like shooters coming out soon, that like kind of reminded me of that. Just in general, like Rage 2 looks pretty amazing. So, like, I know it's a like, kind of different thing, but I don't know.
Right, it has that aesthetic though.
Yeah.
What I'm more interested in is what Borderlands picks up from other games. My fear is it's going to be a games as a service.
Yeah,
because I mean, like you said, shooters are a dime a dozen now, and I assume Gearbox is looking and seeing everybody's like, "Wait, we mean all this time we could have been selling all these guns to people for actual cash?"
I think they were trying to turn Battleborn into that at some point, weren't they? Or hoping that it would catch on so they could do that.
Yeah, Battleborn was a weird thing.
Bad timing there. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how good or bad that game was because I never played it.
Oh yeah, it came out. Didn't it come out around the same time as Curfew B's attempt? Did it come out around Overwatch?
It came out like the week.
With a week of it.
Yeah.
And Overwatch took over the fucking planet, and Battleborn was like free or like very cheap, very quickly.
Yeah, I think Battleborn came out like a month earlier than Overwatch, and then Overwatch came out, and everybody like nobody's socks had been knocked off by Battleborn anyway.
I was going to say, right. Battleborn like didn't make a splash at all to begin with. Like, nobody bought it. Like,
But then Overwatch came out and it was like another hero shooter that just did everything better than Battleborn did.
And, you know, for what I played of Overwatch, I enjoyed. Like, it's fun. It's fun for what it is. Like, you know, I never get too deep into any of those games, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We will see. What's it? It's Sniper Elite stuff. They're bringing it to Switch.
They're bringing Sniper Elite 3 Extreme Edition or something like that to Switch. I think they're remaking Sniper Elite 2. They announced Sniper Elite 4, and then they're doing a Sniper Elite VR game.
And they're all in on
Sniper Elite.
Yeah, man.
X-ray
Sniper Elite
sniping.
Gotta get those crotch shots in. But I will be honest, I'm actually kind of happy with the company just being upfront. I mean, like, we're working on these four games and this one. Here you go. Yeah. There's no haunting or blurry pitches. It's like, nope, this is what we're doing. Like, okay.
Guess, yeah. I mean, you can't argue with just, hey, here's what we're doing.
That series has always just been quietly successful. Like, no one gives a fuck about it, but it sells, and there's people out there that love it.
I mean, like, there is something engaging about their X-ray kill shots. Like, they get a little old, but also, every time it happens,
to be honest, I've never played one of these games, but, like, it's just weird. Like, watching it from the outside, it's like,
yeah.
Nobody cares about these games, but they're super popular.
Nobody cares about them.
I guess, yeah.
One more here. It is all about the cocaine.
Oh, yeah, cocaine.
Yes,
I'm in. My favorite. This is just a, cocaine.
What do you want to know?
This is just an odd story. But I mean, not an odd story, but yeah, I guess a voice act judgment, which is the who's a spinoff.
Yeah.
It and using cocaine. So Sega decides to stop selling the game in Japan, and then a bit over to the States while they work this out. So when I thought he got busted in like a cocaine sting, and it just turned out he was using not just using it, but I mean, you think, oh, somebody's using cocaine. That's not a big deal. Like, it's an ego, but it's like, okay, he was using like he's not sewn it or anything,
right?
And it's like, oh, we're gonna stop selling a game because somebody got caught using cocaine. Because
I guess that's like the one headline I saw. Like, I did not actually click on any articles, but I saw a headline and it was like, yeah, it's like a much bigger deal, like culturally, yeah. That like you know,
and evidently specifically with this game series too. Which is funny because it's
like a controversial series, probably, right?
Well, it's a series about a crime syndicate in Japan, but like I guess the director of the series, like he has some like very strict rules on things, and they've done this before where they've wiped a character, wiped a voice actor out of their game before. It's strange. Like we view it here as like, okay, so an actor did some coke.
don't they all? I mean, really?
I mean, why wouldn't you? You know?
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of not to, Jeff.
Yeah. Ask Chris Farley about that one.
But the other thing
I'm sorry.
He's also not the main character of the game.
He's just a side character, right? Like,
yeah,
supporting cast.
I think it's one of those things where like would not have paid attention to it if Sega didn't stop selling the game. It's like, I mean, again, it's probably different in America just because it's like, yeah, it's a crime to, you know, it's not cocaine, but it's like stop my business because somebody got caught.
My entire business because one of my employees.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to mean anybody. I was going to say, it's like if your assistant got caught doing it. It's like, yeah, like, okay, maybe if the CEO or something, maybe I could see. But it's a side character in one of your games.
Yeah. And actually, I saw a trailer for that game today while, like, looking up this story. Like, that game actually looks pretty cool.
But yeah, because I think it was just like, it was just announced. It's like, I think it was like this, like May or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, it's cocaine ruins everything.
You hear that, Chef? Cocaine ruins everything.
I mean, it's true. But, you know.
Oh, well. So,
moving on.
Don't do cocaine. That's it for everything. I don't think we have any other news. Not really sure what we're going to have for next week. We say that every week, though. I'm sure we'll have some more old games.
Hey, I'm playing baseball right now.
I will tell you how amazing Devil May Cry gets in the last 5 levels that you have to buy it now.
Okay. You bring that next week. Is anybody getting the Division?
No, because the people I play it with, and Don, are not getting it.
Yeah. This is true.
Is anybody, because Firestorm for this week, right? Or is that later on?
Firestorm?
The Battle Royale mode, isn't that was announced today?
Oh. Yeah, they were showing it off.
For
Battlefield 5. Maybe we should play that because we all have that game.
One and Rush is back in the game temporarily, so.
But yes, big week because we have the announcement of a brand new console, And I mean, I assume that's going to be all the buzz, all the talk of the town.
Sure. I'm sure everyone will be talking about it, just like everyone talked about the Ouya. It'll be exactly like
I
that.
thought, to be fair, I mean, company.
Everybody did talk about the
Dude, I remember working at GameStop at the time, and they're like telling us to push the Ouya, and I was like, yeah, okay. Like, I never tried to sell that motherfucker. They were trying to get like people pure, like, you gotta get it, man. It's gonna sell. Everyone's gonna be fucking way into it. I was like, yeah, okay. Anyway.
Sure. Sure they
Speaking of
will.
things you should pre-order, PlayStation Classic is now down to $37.
Nice. I saw that somewhere.
It's getting there.
I tried to actually go buy it off of Amazon. I was finally like, you know what? I'll go buy it. I went on Amazon and it's actually like they don't have it at the moment. Like it's all third-party sellers.
Because it was going for like $40, and I think a lot of people were saying it makes a good like emulator for the PlayStation kind of. So I mean, there's that. I figured if it got down to 40 already, like there's gonna be a day where I'm gonna see if like $30, and that's the day I'm gonna jump on it.
Fucking! If I ever see it for 30, I for sure will jump on that. But
So,
even at
speaking of
40, at this point, it's like whatever, dude. I'll play a game or two on there, you know, whatever.
Cheap games, I have to say, I have to commend Anthem. I honestly did not think it would hold up its price this long.
It
I thought
has.
it would
Yeah,
I
it's a
thought
month old
it
now, right?
like yeah. I was expecting it to be like $40 by now somewhere.
Dude, like didn't that thing like basically like no one thinks this thing is great, right? Like
Right.
it's
I
amazing.
don't think a ton of people are buying it, but
I mean,
The, I think I retweeted one of the funniest things I saw, which is like it made Andromeda seem like a way better game. Like it made you appreciate how good Andromeda
so
was.
the funny part is, if you read that article, I really wanted to play Andromeda after playing because I'm like, you know what? Andromeda
Andromeda
was
was
actually a really
fine.
good game.
Yeah, it was like not great, but it was fine, you
Yeah,
know?
it wasn't one of the other Mass Effect games. That's
Yeah, it's a 60-hour like you're a a colonist type thing. Like it's not the same type of game as what the original Mass Effects were.
But better than Anthem.
Oh yeah, no, definitely better than that.
Oh
Well, it
yeah.
actually works, so.
Yeah.
Right, it's not crashing consoles and destroying the libraries that you have to manually put back together. But yeah, we'll have something for next week. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.